Chapter 38, The Brainstem. The brain has an amazing ability to adapt to change. Its neuroplasticity allows it to reorganize and make new neural connections as we age and learn new information. While stories of people developing savant-like behavior after injury do happen, it is far less common to hear of children who were unable to recover any of their previous abilities and personality after trauma. As the brain heals, new connections are formed, old familiar pathways are rerouted, and the previous functionality of the brain can often be at least partially restored. Directly below the brain, a short column of neurons known as the brainstem extends downward, connecting brain to spinal cord. Nearly the entire neurology of the human body is routed through this primal bundle of fibers. From here originate the motor nerves, which control the face, eyes, tongue, swallowing, and neck, as well as sensory nerves, which provide for seeing, hearing, and tasting. Control for respiration, heart rate, sleep cycles, intestinal motility, and many other life-sustaining mechanisms are also located within. In addition, all of the nerves that control your fingers and toes and everything in between pass through the brainstem, nearly everything except for the optic nerve that allows you to see and the olfactory nerve that provides a sense of smell. There is only one place in the human body so delicate, so densely packed with neurons that the slightest assault could cause catastrophic injury, and that is in the brainstem. If there was a place where neurological injury could occur, yet be so seemingly insignificant as to escape detection, despite our most sophisticated imaging technology, it would be this 2-inch section of fibers that connects the brain and the spinal cord. Surgeons might perform sophisticated procedures deep within the cerebrum, even keeping patients awake to sing, recite poetry, or play the guitar during the operation to help them navigate the mind safely, but not within the brainstem. Beyond removing tumors pressing from the outside, surgery on this part of the nervous system is considered extremely risky. Physical access is difficult. It's surrounded on the sides by bone and the top by the entirety of the brain. Even if accessibility weren't such an issue, its extremely congested design makes operation nearly impossible. At about an inch in diameter for full-grown adults, the prospects of successfully operating on any component inside the brainstem without disturbing some other function crucial to life is grim. It is for this reason executions have historically focused on disrupting not the brain, but the brainstem. Hangings are designed not to strangulate, but dislocate the cervical vertebrae of the spinal column, shearing the brainstem in two, the outcome of which is instant death. Similarly, execution by firearm is most quickly performed not by shooting someone in the head, but the brainstem, a fact not lost on history's most brutal dictators and those they employed to kill in mass. Because of the specific functions and vulnerability of this part of the nervous system, it has been suspected its disruption may be playing a significant part in autism. Different areas of the brainstem serve a wide variety of purposes, and although they're not clearly delineated regions easily visible with MRIs or CT scans, through decades of trial and error, their locations and functionalities have become apparent. One component of the brainstem that received widespread attention early on is called the reticular formation. The reticular formation is not so much a specific location in the brainstem, but a collection of neurons that serve a critical role in responding to the external world. Through this vital channel, incoming stimuli are processed, responded to, and potentially routed to be stored elsewhere for later retrieval. Although it serves many other purposes, such as arousal and consciousness, its role in managing the interface between self and the outside environment would seem to be an obvious candidate for autism research. From the earliest descriptions of the disorder, the isolation of affected children was the hallmark trait. Their inability to respond to the external world, despite every conceivable attempt to reach them, not to mention the specificity of this particular symptom, would seem to point directly at the reticular formation. With its incredible plasticity and redundancy, no other location in the brain should theoretically be capable of causing a protracted case of this particular effect. Because of this obvious culprit, scientists began to look. If the reticular formation was indeed the epicenter of the inward-turned children of autism, then the pathological evidence should not have been hard to find. As it turned out, it would be nearly impossible. Interest in the reticular formation as a source of autistic dysfunction ran high for years as several auditory studies measured the brain's response time to sound in both autistic and neurotypical children. Based on the slower reactions amongst the autistic children, it concluded they were likely to have lesions or some other neurological dysfunction within their brainstem. However, the initial curiosity would fade as several pathological examinations of the brainstem revealed no apparent injury at this or any location. The reason for this may be because aluminum can cause neurological problems in a very different way than many other processes. Inflammation, stroke, and other assaults do not target neuronal cells per se, but inflict harm upon them through collateral damage. They leave telltale markers as to their presence, deformed tissue easily visible with neuronal imaging technology. Aluminum has a proclivity for damaging neuronal cells specifically. It may pass freely around other cells without effect, but once it reaches the gossamer axons of the brain, it can quietly disrupt their function with barely a trace of damage to surrounding tissue, destroying the fatty myelin sheaths that surround and protect them. With this protective coating gone, neural transmission is impaired, an effect which often causes weakness in motor nerves and over-responsiveness in sensory nerves. Because of this, the lesions of multiple sclerosis and the neurofibrillary tangles of Alzheimer's disease are evident even upon a cursory examination, but the neuronal wreckage aluminum can create is often not. It is a precision-guided weapon that leaves little indication as to its presence, an effect so opaque, scientists have spent years developing techniques just to observe it. Because of the catastrophic damage tiny disturbances in the brainstem can cause, and because of the targeted way in which aluminum attacks neuronal cells, routine pathological examination, even under a microscope, is unlikely to spot a problem. For those looking for the enigmatic source of autism within the brainstem using traditional techniques, it would continue to remain hidden. While the disorder may not present clearly visible evidence as to its presence in this part of the brainstem, other areas just millimeters away may provide a clear indication to anyone willing to look that something has gone wrong.